Well, it's super good to know that we're starting out on the right foot for this episode. I almost had to separate my co-hosts just like 5 seconds before the episode began. But I think it looked like you guys solved it, right?
Oh, you really worked it out.
And it was over material on this week's episode. You might hear about it. This is, in fact, Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our voicemail number, told to you nationwide. I am, in fact, Sam Mulvey, despite rumors. And so how's it going? Joining me, you've been on a bit lately, haven't you, Justin?
I'm on quite a tear.
Yeah, well, as long as the current political landscape continues to be, as they say in my homeland, crazy, I imagine we might be talking frequently.
That's a little bit of an understatement.
Yeah. And then often called jokingly at parties my horse Twitter correspondent, but actually just joining us, I don't know that there's any horse stories that might make it to this docket.
I think this will be my first time on not talking about animals.
Yeah. Oh, right, because you've been
of the four-legged variety.
Fresh back from the field.
Well, yeah, because you've been on twice. Once as my horse Twitter correspondent, because we were talking about Roy Moore's horse.
Yes.
And then once again with Becky pet death episode, which I stayed well away from.
That one can be tough.
Yeah, and I'm not good at tough these days. So, got some announcements. Humanists of Washington, the statewide humanist organization of which a lot of people here at Ask an Atheist are a part of. Full disclosure, I am currently the president of Humanists of Washington, just relaunched at the first of the year. You can go to wahumanists.org. Our new initiatives include advocacy through awareness campaigns directed to elected officials, facilitating secular invocations at municipal meetings and legislative sessions around the state, technology access, and humanist-guided support for incarcerated and detained individuals. We will be talking about all of these things on the show as the year goes on. You can find it at wahumanists.org. I encourage you to take a look at it. But it's been a strange week, and it's one of those where I know I'm going to leave something hilarious on the table by the end of the show.
You have such a cornucopia.
Yeah,
so many things to choose from.
I really had to do this one. An Israeli art museum announced it will remove and return a sculpture that depicts a crucified Ronald McDonald after its presence sparked violent protests from Christians in Haifa. The figure was part of an exhibition on display since last August where various artists employed religious symbols to criticize capitalist consumer culture, as well as the way religions use consumer practices to prosper financially. The museum director stated that they believe in freedom of speech as a cornerstone of democracy and thanked Christian leaders for engaging in dialogue to reach resolution and prevent further violence. She also regretted any distress experienced by the Christian community in Haifa, as well as physical injury suffered by three officers called to control protesters.
The Burger King is not playing around this time. Speaking of which, has anybody seen Wendy recently?
I haven't seen Wendy, but that was McDonald's, so we got like McJesus going on here.
Yeah, I'm thinking like there was some behind the scenes spy action going on with the Wendy.
So what you're saying is the emir of Cheeseburger Land decided to pay some protesters in Haifa to get mad at
McJesus.
Yeah. So we might be looking at the fast food crusade, the first fast food crusade.
Yep. Well, I have heard the McRib is coming back this year.
Okay, it's coming back, but what are they doing with it? I think might be the scarier question.
I don't know. Turning it into a McWoman?
Okay, there's an incel joke in there somewhere, but I can't make it on the air. So that isn't going to happen. But
something McBone?
I would also like to point out thank you for engaging in dialogue. Freedom of speech is the foundation for our civilization. We're sorry you were offended.
Oh, did they do "we're sorry you were offended"? Did that
regretted,
actually happen?
Regretted any distress experienced by the Christian community in Haifa.
Right. Well, I mean, I get it. The Christians get the bronze medal in Israel for religious dumb wordery.
Yeah.
And it still means it doesn't happen. I'm just going to put this in my file for turning I don't know, maybe theme park.
turning Jerusalem.
If we're gonna go full crazy, let's just pay people to do it, and then nobody actually gets hurt, but everybody gets to, you know, everybody gets their 3 minutes hate.
It's good for the economy, the local economy.
Yeah, but it's in the service of the Disney Corporation, because I can't think of any other organization who could run a theme park on that scale.
Well, yeah, it's going to need some massive organization.
Yeah, some management. Absolutely. But speaking of Wendy, I suspect Wendy, to get away from the Emir of Hamburgerland and from McJesus, might be in Canada with the Saudi dean we mentioned last week's episode, who was granted asylum in Canada after fleeing highly restrictive parents and has been talking to social media to express her joy at participating in activities once forbidden in her observant Muslim family. 18-year-old Rahaf Muhammad posted pictures on Snapchat of herself eating Canadian bacon, drinking wine, and holding a lit cigarette, all of which were not permitted by observant Muslims. Muhammad made national headlines when she flew to Bangkok in an attempt to reach the safety of Australia while her family was vacationing in Kuwait. She alleges that her family confined her to a bedroom for 6 months after she cut her hair, renounced Islam, and refused to wear the hijab. Apostasy is a capital offense in her native Saudi Arabia.
It's too bad she wasn't able to get some real bacon.
Canadian bacon is delicious.
I'm not saying it's not delicious. I'm just saying it's not bacon.
It's still bacon.
Oh, it's not bacon.
You know, it's part of the bacon.
It may be a part of the bacon, but it's not bacon.
Talk to a butcher.
There's a reason that we make different sounds with our mouth when we say bacon and then Canadian bacon. Like, it has to have that modifier.
Yeah, see, that's in America. If you go into other countries, they call it differently. Like, they call American bacon streaky bacon because it's all streaked full of fat.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That makes me want it more.
But their real bacon is...
You like your bacon streaking?
Oh, yeah.
But you're talking about, like, the UK, where there's just streaky bacon and then, pork...
Proper bacon?
Well, proper bacon. The only difference is the only difference I can tell is just the ratio of fat to meat. If you buy your quote-unquote streaky bacon in the United States properly, you can get that kind of bacon here. Just not on purpose. So I'm going to say the difference between regular bacon and streaky bacon in UK is it might be a distinction without a difference.
Well, it actually has to do with what part of the belly it comes from.
It's
all attached together.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're cut part of it.
Well, yeah, because we sell that kind of bacon here. We just call it pork belly. It's the same stuff.
Yep.
It might be cut differently, but it's the same stuff.
Yeah, it's all about meat cutting.
So I don't know if this is a statement on the state of American politics or the state of American social awareness, but this by far has been the longest conversation I've seen. Like, I've seen this conversation not about Islam, you know, Islam being the religion of peace, not about the fact that apostasy is a capital crime. In Saudi Arabia, but whether or not she was actually eating bacon is by far the biggest conversation I've seen about this, like, since the story broke on, like, Tuesday. Everybody who says that's not bacon, like, are people, like, getting money together to send her different kind of bacon? Like, how into this are people getting?
I really hope they are, so she can enjoy all the bacon goodness.
In the free marketplace of ideas, bacon has won out.
Yeah.
I don't know. We
should talk about that, though. We should talk about that, because there's a reason that she needed. What did she get? Asylum or refuge?
Asylum and refugee status.
Okay.
Yeah, she got both.
In Canada, there's a reason.
Country
that
and Western.
That, and it's because where she came from and her family were literally insane.
Right.
Like now
she was at risk for being put to death for her beliefs.
Put to death.
Yeah.
For cutting her hair?
Like, yeah.
What, a haircut?
Yeah.
Like, how bad was the barber? I mean, come on. We're seriously having
Let her go to a barber. That was
she probably had to cut it herself.
That was probably a self-service
like
job.
Yeah. Her bangs were just like at a 45 degree angle. But like her family is insane. The culture that she came from, these outmoded ideas that they have, they're ludicrous. Mm-hmm. Where a person could, like, it's on the one hand, it's a statement about American politics, like you said, we're sitting here talking about bacon, like, we have the privilege to do that. They're not just this girl, how many other young men and women and even grown adults that have
and
those
fast
kinds
food
of
mascots
and fast food mascots are at risk of being, like, put to death for deviating from the norm. Like,
I mean,
it goes beyond just disagreement with an idea. That's like an actual person's life there.
I am, as a critic of religion, like, I know in Saudi Arabia they're gonna go apocky on this one because it's Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia already has like an ongoing tiff with Canada, so there's gonna be some ramping up. This is gonna get full on professional wrestling promo between Saudi Arabia and Canada. I'm expecting that, but I'm as a critic of religion, I am paying attention to the reaction of Muslims in the United States and around the world to this. If you really are presenting yourself as a religion of peace, you should be okay with this, because this is somebody's free choice.
Yeah,
and peace requires free choice. But in looking around, that's not what I'm seeing so far. But I'm not gonna name names until I'm not gonna make a big deal out of it until I see more of what the response is.
Yeah, get a bigger data set.
Right. Because I know there's gonna be a lot of Muslims in the United States, and possibly even the majority of the Muslims in the United States, who are completely okay with this. You know,
or just don't care.
Like, or don't care one way or another. Mm. But I want to see what happens on the organizational level. And I suspect that there's a lot of hands-off going on right now because of the diplomatic tiff going on between Canada and Saudi Arabia.
Uh-huh.
But I know it's coming. And you know, she has an around-the-clock guard right now. Not just because her family might come and snatch her back, but because there are radical elements of every religion you could name in the United States and Canada, because we have the ability, you know, we have free choice of religion.
Uh-huh.
So she's under a lot of protection. So you got to keep in mind that maybe she's Instagramming pictures of her doing stuff. But if you back the frame up a little bit, there's a guy with a gun making, you know, a law officer.
Just looking at his phone.
Yeah, looking at his phone with a little microphone in his wrist.
Pressure rising, the veins sticking out on his forehead.
Like we used to have in the United States before the shutdown.
Right.
She's trying to have widen her experience a little bit, but you have to take the whole picture in.
Uh-huh.
And part of that picture for this kid right now is the fact that she has to be under guard because there are huge elements of religious populations, including her own family, who would like to see her dead.
I'd just like to point out that while I have many times heard the phrase Instagram boyfriend, I don't think I've ever considered the Instagram bodyguard.
Instagram bodyguard. Great. All right. So now that I've gotten the important discussion out of the way, what kind of bacon should she try, and how do we get this bacon to her? And I imagine the answer is we don't, because it's not like she's going to have an official food taster.
Yeah.
Well, like, maybe we send her a list of bacons to try? Because, like, literally, every conversation I've seen on social media is she tries Canadian bacon, and I was like, that's not bacon. That's not real bacon. And then they list, like, some abstruse company that makes only a third of a pound a year. That's the bacon she should try. And I'm like, part of me kind of hates it because we're missing the wider experience. But parts of me also loves it because, well, now welcome to American culture. Right. Enormous, abstruse conversations about bacon.
Yeah. I don't really get that pedantic about my baconry. I just like bacon.
I honestly don't even eat that much bacon, and this is probably showing a little bit more about me than I should reveal, but as much as people are going on about the bacon, what kind of wine is she drinking?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it a white wine?
I don't know.
Is she going, like, basic girl white wine? Is she getting something a little bit darker? Maybe some thick red wine, a little bit of rosé. Is it a sparkling?
So on my production circuit, we can at least say it was red.
Oh.
It was red of some description.
Well.
Well, call me when you get to beer.
I had a really good red wine. It was called Sangre de Judas, the blood of Judas.
Okay.
I was going to say, that's blood of something?
Yeah. Sangre de Judas was really, really good red wine.
Yeah.
I like a nice Merlot.
I have never been particularly comfortable with the blood wine connection.
I grew up Catholic. I've kind of gotten over it.
Blood tastes like pennies. It doesn't taste. I wouldn't want to. I don't find pennies pleasurable to drink. So that's not my thing.
Have you tried drinking pennies, Sam?
Yeah.
I've never tried drinking pennies, but I do know that copper will help make you salivate.
Oh, is that what it does? Oh, well, okay. I thought that was just like some sort of what do you call it when you have two dissimilar metals and they create an electrical charge?
Electrolysis?
No, not electrolysis. Might be electric. Well, some sort of, I thought some sort of electrochemical reaction was happening in my mouth when that was happening. Okay,
nope,
that's
copper.
I play with a lot of copper. Sometimes it gets into my mouth. Most recently, I've been shocking pennies to see if they like it. No.
Just trying to see if the expression on Lincoln's face changes.
No, it's a project with me and a friend of mine. We're trying to make like the penny furniture where you polish pennies and put them in.
Uh-huh.
But we thought like it would be cool if some of the pennies had a coating of an oxide on them, because copper oxides tend to be very pretty, like especially copper 2 and copper 3 oxide. And so her thing was to like look for pre-1982 pennies where the formulation included a lot more copper, because apparently on modern pennies there isn't enough copper to make them oxidized properly.
Mm.
I thought, oh, I've got all this electronic gear. What if I just shocked the pennies to death and see if I can get a coating of oxide that way? And that ended up working pretty good.
Yeah.
I also copper plated a 1943 steel penny, and I call it my horrible forgery. Because actual copper 1943 pennies are worth several millions of dollars.
Oh, geez.
And so, I mean, it's not a very good forgery. Just wave a magnet at it and, you know, it's fake.
Right.
But I just like, I've got a few of these. Let me drop that in and see what happens.
Nifty.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and while I'm doing that, it just so happens that I may have run out of hands and just started putting pennies between my teeth to hold them in place. So I have recent experience of what pennies taste like, and it tastes pretty much the same way as it does as if I like cut something in my mouth, or if I put a cut in my mouth. It's basically the same flavor. I don't know why.
You know what? And you know what? We have the freedom in North America, at least for now, and she has the freedom under her refugee status. She can eat a penny, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
If she wants to do that, more power to her.
In North America, we have the freedom
to eat pennies.
To eat pennies and torture currency.
Yeah.
Okay. I can get behind that.
I gotta say, this did not go the direction I was expecting it to go.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I promise we're done talking about pennies. When we come back from the break, it's Justin's here, and it's been a heck of a week. It's time for the best words.
Oh, man.
The salesman will tell you that squid ink cures squiditis, but it doesn't. It only makes you uglier.
Trust me, I'm Johnny Johnson, and I was diagnosed with squiditis when I was 17. I tried squid ink, but it didn't do anything except for make me even uglier.
So tell me, where do you want squid ink?
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. Cephalopod is not real.
I know.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And it has certainly been a week in politics and a week in crazy racism. And
sexism
and
controlling people's bodies,
combinations thereof. So let's start with
all
that.
The isms.
What group? Oh, you know, a group of Catholic schoolboys on a field trip to D.C. for an anti-abortion march were caught on video taunting, ridiculing, and harassing a native elder who was there for the first ever Indigenous Peoples March in the nation's capital. Students from Kentucky's Covington Catholic School wore MAGA hats and chanted "Build the Wall" as Vietnam veteran Nathan Phillips of the Omaha people ceremonially chanted about Indigenous autonomy. While all school social media accounts have been set to private and the website has been made unavailable, the school and its associated diocese condemned the boys' behavior and extended deepest apologies to Phillips and Native Americans. The Indigenous Peoples March aimed to bring attention to the ongoing federal shutdown's detrimental effect on Native people and to protest Trump's language in tweets using Pocahontas as a slur and making light of Native American genocide.
Okay, well, I've seen a lot of discussion about this.
Go for it.
Please lead us, because I have nowhere. Well, I have some idea where to go with it, but it's sad. So you start.
All right. I'm on it. Okay. So what I've seen a lot of discussion about is a lot of finger pointing, and I don't like that because I don't think it's necessary.
Well, I think finger pointing in what way?
Oh, okay. So there was a 2-hour long video that got posted with like the whole context and the people on, everybody's trying to spin it one way or another. And there was another group of people there. I believe the group is called like the Black Israelites or something like that.
Right.
It's an African-American supremacy group.
Yeah, they exist.
They have a weird thing that I'm not... It's a strange thing. And then you have these guys interacting with these guys, and they're interacting with these guys. So they're trying to... Every side is trying to point out who the big problem was first, right? Mm. But I don't think that that's necessary. I don't think that we have to have that discussion. Because why were the kids there? Right. Why was the March for Life happening? What is the idea at the base of the whole thing?
Right.
If you are anti-abortion, anti-choice, pro-life, what you're fundamentally saying at a practical level is that women don't have autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And since women are people, people don't have autonomy.
Right.
There's some sort of authority, outside authority. Fulfill it with like...
Well, that's a specific part of the Catholic Catechism. Like, and the way I want to do about this situation, let's take away the larger context for a minute. Let's schematic this out. Let's take away feelings and whatever, and just talk about like the specifics, the engine that drives this particular horribleness. And this was the week of the Women's March. There was the first ever Native Peoples March in Washington, kind of a big week for marching in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
So this Kentucky boys-only Catholic school set a clutch of boys to Washington, D.C. to participate in this. And while apparently they were there under the aegis of this Catholic boys' school, they had the freedom to don MAGA hats and scream at people.
Yeah, like, why would they pack that? There was a lot of like Trump gear and MAGA gear.
Like, yeah, like, okay, I get it. It's easy to stow hats, but if you are there on the purposes for the purposes of the school, if you're there under the aegis of the school, you are being minded theoretically by educators who might say, "Don't put the hats on, or we're going back to the hotel."
Yeah,
don't scream at people, or we're going back to the hotel. Mm-hmm. I get it that the diocese is saying, this is bad. This is clear racism. We don't stand by this." Mm-hmm. Why were you there? Yeah. Why did they have the? What was the point of this exercise? To participate in democracy? Because that's not what it looks like. Yeah. It looks like you sent the racist boys hate group there.
That's what it looks like.
I think they did, and then they got called out on it, and now they're saying, "Oh, you're taking it too seriously. It was just a joke."
Right. This is completely backpedaling.
And they weren't. It doesn't seem to me that they were all that concerned about the safety of the kids either. Like, these are children.
Right.
The oldest one, like, there. It's a boys like preparatory school, right? We're talking about like 13 to 17 year old.
That's kind of
like,
exactly. Geez.
These are children. These are children. Why are they being sent into the adult world?
Yeah.
With these kinds of, do they not recognize that this is sort of a tense time? Forget the idea that they have.
Like, right.
Just think about the safety concern first and foremost. Why the hell didn't you get them out of there? Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to swear on the
No, air. That's fine.
Why didn't you get them out of there? These are kids. You are responsible for your and other people's children.
Are you suggesting that Catholic churches might not actually be top-notch in their pedagogical approaches?
That they might hide behind a child body shield?
Yeah.
That, actually, I don't know that he was saying that, but that's a good point. Were they using children as political representatives at this march? Because it's not a surprise. It should be a surprise to no one who listens to this show, even if this is the first time you've heard this show, that the Catholic Church has some very specific ideas about bodily autonomy when it comes to women.
Uh-huh.
Were these people actually a stand-in?
I have no idea, but just looking at this, you bring up the point of, you know, why were these kids there? The only thing I could think of is, well, who's gonna attack a bunch of kids?
I didn't quite mean that.
Yeah, I know, but I mean
that is a good point, though.
That's just what springs to my mind. Is it's like, well, people always bring their kids to protests and things like that because you have to be on your best behavior around children. Remember,
right?
We have to be good adults.
Which, for the record, I ignore. If you're going to show up at my door with children, you clearly don't care about them enough to hide them from things that might go wrong when you ignore people. So I don't weird out, and I'm not one of those people who shows up at the door naked, so I'm not going to get arrested. But I basically, I ignore that the kids are there unless they're specifically brought into the conversation. And at the end of the conversation, I'm like, great job using children as tools, you inhuman.
The only time I want someone to knock at my door with their kids with them is if they're selling cookies.
Yeah. Okay. I don't even want that.
The other thing here, I don't know that these kids have the ideological complexity to understand what it is that they're actually advocating for. As if you are anti-abortion or pro-life or anti-choice or any of those things, the ideas that were being brought up, the whole notion that underlies the March for Life, there's a practical reality there too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to make illegal certain aspects of women's health care, what you're saying is that you're going to use the power and the monopoly on violence of the state against women for doing thing. So if you're in support of that, then there are going to be news stories, if they're allowed to go on with this and make it into laws and all that. We're going to start hearing stories about a 16-year-old girl not allowed to obtain abortion, or 16-year-old girl gets abortion anyway, in jail now on blah 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 charges, and that's what they're advocating for.
Bring back coat hanger abortions now.
If you're going to have a society where people are treated like that, if you're advocating for that kind of a society, I can't see how that isn't advocating for violence against women.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter if you say it nicely. That doesn't make a difference. If you say with a smile something horrific,
right,
you're still saying a horrific thing.
Well, the whole point of maintaining equal, you know, sort of emotional equilibrium in a conversation while you're saying horrible things is a way to give yourself the ability to call someone out and suggest that someone who reacts angrily to you is at fault for what you is at fault themselves, and is not a genuine and real response to what you are saying.
Yeah.
More often than not, I see the call to civility as a way to silence people rather than as a way to ennoble conversation.
Absolutely.
And I really don't understand pro-life women. Right? If they were actually treated the way that they're advocating that I'm sure that they think it is other women be treated and not them, I don't think that they would like that very much. Because if you don't have bodily autonomy, then you don't get to choose what happens to you.
The only way I've been ever able to explain it to myself is something akin to Stockholm Syndrome. But I don't encounter, especially around here, I don't encounter pro-life, anti-abortion women very often.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me wants to say don't kink shame. Because, you know, some people are into that.
I think you're ignoring the difference between personal choice and public policy.
But that's the thing though, is some women are very into that. They don't want to think about it. They want life to be easy and for someone else to make all the decisions for them.
No problem.
I've run into these people.
Yeah.
And the problem is you have a group of these people who thinks that everybody should be like that.
That's
what I have a problem
with. See, I am a very dominant woman, and I have a lot of problems with some of my friends because that it's taken as aggression.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And women aren't supposed to be like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Disagree.
That's a whole different kink.
This is Christy and I have been friends for years. I've seen that myself in your case. And but I don't want to confabulate the people who I don't want to directly equate a kink with pro-choice. My politics are defined by the Liberty Lobby.
I'm not necessarily equating it directly as a kink so much as I'm using that as language that's already existing to explain that for some people, that is just how they want to be, and they refuse to even consider that other people might not agree.
Right.
It's the whole thing with religion. some people want to think that there is a God who's in control of everything, and it makes them comfortable.
So when those people are used as foot soldiers by the Liberty Lobby or by the, you know, by whatever the Tea Partiers are calling themselves now to make policy to break down Roe versus Wade, how do I treat those people distinct from people who are actively trying to make America a theocracy and using using bodily autonomy as a platform?
I don't think they're separately distinct.
Okay.
I got it.
I'm just trying to explain the mentality.
No. Okay.
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. All right. I wasn't sure if we were on the same page.
Yeah.
Now I think we are. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
You're saying you don't understand how there are women that can buy into this thing. This is how.
Sure.
Oh no.
This makes them comfortable.
Okay.
I understand why they think the way that they think. What I don't understand is why they think. Why they would get offended by someone else that's not them violating their bodily autonomy.
Why do people get offended when you tell them you don't believe in Jesus?
they have this idea in their head that they can violate other people's bodily autonomy by telling them what they can and can't do with their reproductive system, but then they get all surprised when someone does it to them. Like, what?
Oh, you think that they would believe that they should be able to have an abortion?
No, I'm saying treat pro-life people the way that they want to be treated.
Many of them do.
If they don't think people have bodily autonomy, okay. You don't have bodily autonomy.
I don't know, tell
them what to do.
Yeah, but that's, like I said, that's the difference between personal dynamics, which I should not have any control over and I should not have a say in because I'm not a party to that conversation.
I agree with you.
And policy. Now that particular group of people, this is where I come down to, where if religious people just kept it to themselves, if they kept it, say, in a piece of clothing like their pants, then there would be almost no need for me to do this show week after week for 10 years. But the fact of the matter is they're saying, this is the way it is for me. This is what my sky father tells me to do, or my our father who art in heaven tells me to do. So I'm going to make sure that the entire nation follows suit.
Hey, here's an idea. If they're so into not having bodily autonomy and protecting life at all costs, automatic mandatory organ donation upon death. Every single body that is healthy gets automatically harvested for every possible organ. Then see how what they say. Then see what their reaction is.
No, if you're a person that fully believes in bodily autonomy.
I mean, I wouldn't want to do that because...
Well, yeah, exactly, because we believe in bodily autonomy.
But
if you want to say you don't have the right to bodily autonomy and your life must be to serve all life.
Yeah, your corpus will be distributed upon death.
Exactly.
That's going to be a big problem for a lot of Christians and a lot of other religious people as well. That's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of wondering, you know, I always kind of wondered about the Proud Boys because I kind of wonder where they come from. Like, I run into people who look like Proud Boys in my career as a IT guy. But I always kind of wondered where, like...
I just look like one of them, so I'm not one of them.
From what clutch they were birthed, and I think
I just thought you looked like a lumberjack.
Well, I think I figured it out. All boys Catholic schools in Kentucky where they're sent on... where they're sent to D.C. Like, there's a lot of good reasons when you're in school to go to D.C.
Yeah.
But to put on a MAGA hat and scream at people,
fewer good reasons
for racist reasons. That's okay. Now we're off the educational farm here. Anyway, Proud Boys, a Seattle member of the Christian white supremacist group, the Proud Boys, was arrested earlier this month for slaying his brother. Bucky Wolf was drawn to QAnon and other conspiracy theories and is suspected by authorities to suffer serious mental illness. Wolf allegedly jammed a sword tang clear through his brother's head because God had told him his brother was a lizard. He also expressed suicidal thoughts to the 9/11 dispatcher he had called, asking to be killed and saying he couldn't live in this reality. During his arrest and interview, Wolf told detectives that he saw their eyes and mouths changing. Described by some as the Western chauvinist group, the Proud Boys, issued a statement saying that Wolf had hopes of becoming a Proud Boy, but never made it past their strict vetting protocols, and characterized him as a fan that had a few screws loose.
I have a couple of problems with that. They do not have strict vetting protocols.
They don't?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Are you our Proud Boys correspondent? Is that what's happening here?
No, I'm familiar with this particular flavor of...
Right, and we can't really...
Crazy.
I mean, can we talk about how you became familiar with them quickly or in a generic way?
I was in Florida for 11 years.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There we go, yeah.
That'll expose you to a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. Pathogens, alligators, crocodiles, spiders, crocodiles. Mosquitoes.
Proud Boys.
Proud Boys.
Yeah, okay.
Overheated
really
brands.
Really awesome.
So the thing with the Proud, on the vetting process thing first, right?
Yeah.
One of their levels is, you know what getting jumped into a gang is?
Yeah.
Okay. So they do that, but you have to, you're getting hit until you can name five breakfast cereals. And the laugh all you want about that. The point of that is to be able to maintain focus on a thing that's sort of an abstract idea while being physically assaulted because the violent left. And they have a couple other levels, like a tattoo that you're supposed to get and things like that. And but where they came from is Gavin McInnes and had this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point during one episode of this radio show, he interviewed this guy called Dante Nero, who is a stand-up comedian.
Right.
And Dante Nero, this is explained better in a podcast from This American Life called White Haze. But Dante Nero had this conversation with Gavin McInnes, and McInnes was already sort of a right-leaning kind of provocateur a little
right.
bit in those sorts of circles, ideological circles. And Dante Nero was apparently having some sort of like relationship issues with his wife, and he had stopped watching porn, and that got segued into not masturbating.
Right.
And then Gavin McInnes took that and just ran with it. And then as time went on, so Dante Nero was like involved with Gavin McInnes, and they had these problematic ideas, and they're dealing with like quote unquote left wing loonies telling them about that they're all racist and blah, 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 and this and that and the other thing. And then eventually, surprise, surprise, Dante Nero starts noticing more and more racist language coming into the online groups from the racists.
Right.
But what we're dealing with now with people like Gavin McInnes, who had to recently step away from the Proud Boys, this is what happens when you don't listen to constructive criticism in the beginning.
Right.
It's like, hey, you get the same issue with conservatives more broadly. When the left wing looks at them and says, hey, some of your people are racist. They're like, not all conservatives are racist. And it's like, no, we know that, but that guy is.
Right.
Like we're saying that guy's a Nazi. Not everybody who disagrees
with
is a Nazi.
It also sounds like this is another example of like what happened with the Tea Party movement. I've never been a fan of the Tea Party movement, but in the early days, it was like in the very early days, we're talking like 2007, 2008,
mm-hmm.
it was a significantly more actual libertarian rather than Republican light philosophy headed by that kind of politically active person and with ideals that matched, but the boring right said, ooh, a movement, let's co-op that, and then all the people who had gotten that started kind of got flushed out of the system into something else.
Uh-huh.
Where the Proud Boys sounds very similar, where it was a right-leaning organization that that was trying to organize. It wasn't specifically about one thing, but then the racist people on the right, the people activated by Trump, were like, ooh, a group that we can tag onto. And so they join the group and they throw out the people who are trying to turn into something else entirely.
Yes.
Okay. That's what's happening here.
That is what happens when you don't pay attention to the Overton window within your own group structure.
Okay. I'm a little uncomfortable with saying like this guy is the Proud Boys' fault.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah, and a lot of out, he was so crazy, even the Proud Boys were like, no.
That's
pretty
very
crazy.
There's very little ideological basis from the Proud Boys to stab your brother because you think he's a lizard.
Right.
With a sword tang.
Yeah, that's more David Icke kind of thing than it is.
However, if you have this kind of organization, you're going to attract a certain kind of people.
Right.
The InfoWars type.
Right.
And some of the InfoWars type think that people are lizards.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I would give these people who I strongly dislike for reasons that we'll get into in the next segment. Well, I don't think it's a surprise that I don't like the Proud Boys. But, like, I get it. This is not No True Scotsman.
Yeah.
Because you guys wouldn't let him in your little boys, no girls allowed club. Fine. Mm. Whatever. But when I'm a social organizer, almost naturally, like it's a thing I do. I organize events and things like that. And I've done role-playing game stuff my whole life, and maybe while I don't have responsibility to the crazy people who show up, I do pay attention to them, because if that's the kind of person I'm attracting, maybe I shouldn't ought to be doing this.
And
that's not a rule that I'm suggesting, like, that's not a rule that I'm saying you should adopt and I don't adopt it. That is a rule I adopt that maybe you should consider. If you're bringing in crazy people, probably on drugs, who believe that everyone's a lizard, and so he uses a sword incorrectly and acts like a Florida man in Seattle, he's not your responsibility, he's not your problem, it's not even No True Scotsman, but you really need to pay attention to what's going on. There needs to be a head check moment, and if there isn't a head check moment, you're an idiot. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to the break, and we're going to talk about the Proud Boys some more for some reason, but at least we'll get local.
Have you ever worried about the consistency of your bowel movements?
Do you have problems remembering how to write your name on tests?
Do you think that your left pinky finger is too short?
If you answered yes or no to these questions, then Squid Ink is for you.
Also able to be used as an alternative gasoline and dog food, Squid Ink is a safe way to deal with all your personal problems.
Disclaimers.
Don't contact a medical provider for use. Dr. Dentist Incorporated is not liable for any misuse or spontaneous combustion related to Squid Ink. We are also not responsible for any deaths influenced by the internet, even for a product having the ability to purify water. We do not want this to become the next Tide Pods. Please don't contribute to us become the next Tide Pods. In addition to Squid Ink being able to extend fingers, it can also extend other important parts of your body.
Squid Ink, a better way to glow!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. Cephalopod is not real.
I know.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. So you'll notice this is a bit of a change to the Squid Ink commercials. I don't know how long we're going to be running them now, but yeah, well, now that the joke has finally been explained to the rest of the world, you can go to imnotsquidding.com and see and listen to every commercial we recorded in 2018 at Camp Quest Northwest. And you are free to use those on your own podcast or whatever. It's all there. So check it out at imnotsquidding.com. Now, in the break, we had a couple of things about Proud Boys that you guys wanted to talk about before we moved on, but you were saying about
you brought up the head check moment
for
the organization. That was what Dante Nero was trying to do when he brought up the influx of white supremacist type of rhetoric into the Proud Boys, like online discussions and stuff like that. He was saying, hey, there's a bunch of racists that have popped up here, and Gavin McGinnis not just ignored the people on the left wing that were criticizing him, saying, hey, you got a bunch of racists over here. He was also ignoring Dante Nero, who was one of the, they called him the Pope of the Proud Boys for a while there.
Okay.
Like, he was a dude, and he ignored him as well. So when it comes to, if you're not doing the head
check, Gavin McGinnis,
he's an idiot,
is the guy who really wanted this to become a racist group, or he just didn't care enough. He just wanted to be command some social group. And
I don't
care
think
who
he
was
smart enough to recognize what everybody was talking about.
All right.
There are other things.
And then wrong that, part of the sword. Like, how, like, did he crack the sword open and do it that, like, I don't know.
I have no idea what's going on with that. All I can tell you is when I first read the article, because I used to keep fish, my first thought was he stabbed him with a fish.
That's very Douglas Adams.
Yeah. It is. Unfortunately, the sword tang is not actually a fish.
Oh, okay.
I looked that up and I was disappointed.
Well, part of the reason I wanted to talk about the Proud Boys is because they are doing weird local stuff. At Seattle's March for Women in Cal Anderson Park, several alleged Proud Boys showed up wearing pink beanies with the phrase Make America Great Again embroidered on the edge. A witness reported that after the march left the park, the Proud Boys moved to follow the march so no observers fell in behind them to keep them out of trouble. About 10,000 marchers gathered in Seattle for the third year since Donald Trump's presidential election. So this is something I've been, like...
Several observers fell into march behind them.
Okay. So, basically, Proud Boys showed up in their little cyst clutch, and like a cyst in the body politic, the immune system of humanity sort of surrounded them and like, good, no, you're not going to do this. And
Yeah, they were there to troll. They wanted to have social media posts and pictures of them with the pink hats on, with the Make America Great Again. I would not be surprised if the lettering was like gold or something that was hard to see. Because they're just trolling. They're just trying to mess with people.
Yeah.
This is who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
They're online trolls who found their way outside.
another.
And they're not very good at it. No, I gotta say, good. as someone who's an aficionado of trolling before it became a political process, mm-hmm. Before it became the fourth arm of our federal government. Just this is dumb.
The 4chan estate.
The 4chan estate. Yeah. Okay. I like that. You know, they
think they're hilarious.
So these are, yeah. So there are people I know and I am friends with and who listen to the show who were involved with making sure that the immune system around this particular clutch, maintained. And like, they were clearly ready to show up for a scrap. They wanted a fight.
Mm.
Nobody would give it to them. They were disappointed.
Mm.
And some of them, they were clearly make, you know, if they were to start a fight, they were going to start a fight with people they knew, you know, who they weren't scared of, basically. Right. It's find your own stuff. Yeah.
Come on, boys, let's go fight all the girls.
Not looking too proud. I'd say. I don't know.
Let's show how strong we are.
It's a thing in Seattle, and it seems particularly dumb up here in the Puget Sound? Because I always get the dumb stories.
They view themselves as lone bastions of Western masculinity, standing against the thralls of women and Marxist ideas. So they see themselves as culture warriors.
Where do you think Marxism came from? Space?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know. You hear the same thing from like conservatives in the Central Valley of California.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that the crazy liberals in the city.
Hey, I have some advice for them. If they don't like it, why don't they just go somewhere else?
Oh, absolutely. Move to
the moon. Or
move to Kansas.
I don't know that I want to visit that Brownback upon Kansas.
And what's his name? Huckabee.
There are people in Kansas
them down
I like.
To Florida.
Though. There are people in Florida I like. I don't know. Yeah. I think
there's parts of Texas that are pretty
At
cool
some
too.
Point, the globe is crowded enough that we might, instead of having to push them off to some new frontier to create, a near theocratic Western nation like the United States, maybe we ought to take care of the problem somehow rather than just, you know, because where do they go? The moon? Yeah. I don't want the moon populated by Proud Boys. I'd like to go to the moon someday.
Well, I did just watch a cyst removal a couple of days ago, so I know a few things about this now.
I don't want to hear about it.
All you really need is a sharp knife.
Yeah, but we're talking about horses. The cyst is the size of a cantaloupe. Moving on! BuzzFeed news journalists are defending a story they broke last week alleging that Donald Trump suborned perjury when he directed former personal lawyer Michael Cohen to lie to Congress about a real estate project in Moscow. BuzzFeed contends that the two unnamed federal law enforcement officials who provided the initial details are reliable sources whose information will be borne out. The Office of Special Investigator Robert Mueller issued a statement challenging parts of the report, saying that BuzzFeed's characterization of documents, testimony, and statements obtained by the Special Investigative Office were not accurate.
I love this story.
Why should I pay attention to this story over others?
Over others?
Yeah.
Several reasons.
Okay.
One, BuzzFeed reported a thing that is massive.
Right.
And then another thing that's massive happened. We got the special counsel to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very, like, Robert Mueller was appointed to be FBI director in 2001. He started being FBI director, like, right before 9/11 happened.
Right.
This man knows his business.
Right.
He is a consummate professional. We had a lot of people on the left who were like, oh, yeah, we really like this guy. He's a really solid professional. When the report comes out, I do not like Trump. If Robert Mueller says that Trump didn't do the things that he's been accused of, I'll believe him.
Okay.
Like, I'll be watching for shenanigans coming from William Barr,
right,
as you will. But if Mueller says Trump is innocent.
Barnanigans.
There you go. Barnanigans. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And what's really fascinating about this is for the whole time that since Rosenstein appointed Mueller, witch hunt. Constantly,
right,
right wing and conservative circles, complete witch hunt, 17 angry Democrats, 497 angry Democrats, literally every angry Democrat is a part of this witch hunt investigation, right?
We've had Congress people buying into this, or conservative Congress people buying into this notion that Mueller is somehow, like, after bipartisan support for his appointment, like, oh yeah, we really like this guy. And then they actually started finding witches. And it's like, oh, this is going to get real bad real quick.
Right.
Because they're a bunch of criminals.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I have to admit that BuzzFeed, like, for editorial purposes of the show, I don't consider BuzzFeed a source. I look for better sources. But it's not like I don't treat BuzzFeed like I do the Weekly World News or something. Like, I don't consider it fake news, mm-hmm. but it's BuzzFeed. Even in their name suggests that it's online rumor mongering, which is fine.
Anthony
I don't know.
Cormier and Jason Leopold are very good.
Well, that's just it is they do occasionally get, good reporters on their
clickbait
stuff.
Clickbait BuzzFeed and BuzzFeed News are two completely different organizations. They just fund the investigative reporting with
the line isn't as thick as I think it is people make it out to be.
I just gotta say, because I live under a rock, I'm just finding out now that BuzzFeed does more than food videos on YouTube.
Yeah, totally. They do.
Oh, yeah. You remember the Steele dossier?
No.
Do you don't know about the Steele dossier?
You've probably heard about it.
Oh my goodness. Christopher Steele. He was a MI5 agent who
I live under a rock and I spend my time.
This is where
ponies.
It's where the allegations of the P tape came from.
Oh dear God.
Okay.
Okay, BuzzFeed.
You know about it then.
BuzzFeed no, I
found
don't.
Out about
But you know about it in context. Yeah. You've never heard about the P tape?
Oh my goodness. How much time do you have till the next break?
My anxiety does not like listening to the news, so I go play with ponies.
Okay.
That's why I'm usually here to talk about critters.
Robert
Mueller is on it. He's a professional. And we have people believing what the Office of Special Counsel has said about BuzzFeed's reporting.
But what I'm saying about BuzzFeed
only boosts Robert Mueller. BuzzFeed doesn't matter. Robert Mueller matters. His credibility.
That's
is
just
key.
It. And but that doesn't Robert Mueller kind of undermine BuzzFeed's credibility here, where he comes on and says it didn't go down like that. You're misconstruing the evidence.
Yes, but no.
Okay.
There's the Office of Special Counsel, which is the Robert Mueller investigation. They have very particular things that they're supposed to be investigating. One, Michael Cohen is Southern District of New York, right? That's a completely different office that's investigating it. Now, BuzzFeed is saying that they have law enforcement sources for this story, and they're standing by those law enforcement sources. And the statement from Special Counsel is very particular. It's interesting in its language, and it's fascinating to hear something back from Special Counsel, especially like this, because if they're saying not that direction, I think what they're doing is thinking tactically,
right?
Because the Democrats are in charge of the House now. The House is what starts impeachment proceedings. The Senate is only what convicts on impeachment proceedings.
Well, not just that. William Barr just said he might not actually release the report without editing.
That too.
And so, so when Mueller comes up and says not that way for the first time ever, that means it might have been some other way.
Mm. If you're going to shoot at the king, you better not miss.
Right. So, like, my point is, my point about BuzzFeed is not that, like, BuzzFeed is somebody, if I can get some basic corroboration from another news source, then I believe BuzzFeed. Like, another example of that is when the guy who ran American Atheist, the allegations about him were coming out.
Oh, right.
That came out through BuzzFeed, and I'm like, but then American Atheist himself said, look at the BuzzFeed article for details. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
Done. Right. And so that's where I look at it. Like, maybe 10 years from now, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be a major news source, but now we have to get from here to there. So I'm not saying BuzzFeed is complete crap. I'm saying BuzzFeed is a news source that I take with a larger grain of salt than I would say Reuters or AP.
This is going to be a serious speed bump in the momentum of their credibility. However, this is an extraordinarily complex and nuanced time in the news.
Yeah.
And I think that when Mueller speaks, we should all listen.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely paying attention to it, but, it's negative information. He's not adding to the pile. He's taking away from the pile, which
but in a very specific way,
which creates a structure and a narrative that wouldn't have been there otherwise.
Uh-huh.
But and that's incredibly telling.
Uh huh.
I don't know what to do with this. This is going to explode funny.
Yeah.
So
I'll keep watching the news, Sam.
Okay. Keep it up.
I'll stay under my rock.
if you want me to give you a breakdown, just let me know.
No, I'm good.
I'll type. Oh, you're okay.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
So what's up in the horse world?
Well, my pony did just get her cyst removed on Friday, as I mentioned. It was not the size of a cantaloupe.
Okay, because you
maybe
shared
like the size of a thumb.
Okay, because you shared the video.
No, I didn't. video has not yet been edited, although I do have full video of the surgery.
I want to watch the video.
It's pretty cool.
So I'm weird like that.
I'm not a person who's into pimple popping.
I told our video guy for our YouTube channel that he's like, hey, people don't really like to see the vet stuff. They don't really watch the dentals or anything like that. I'm like, yeah, but this is surgery on her head in the barn. People are going to watch this.
How have I got a subreddit for you?
I know. I'm like, trust me. Trust me. There's a certain gross factor to YouTube. This will be in there.
Uh-huh. You have a YouTube channel?
Yes.
Do you wish to plug it?
Or
no,
not right now.
Okay, that's fine. So it's the size. It's not one of those horse videos, where they're excising something the size of a cantaloupe. It's a normal size.
No, those are the ones that I pull up when my coworkers are talking about Dr. Pimple Popper, and I want to show them what a real pimple looks like.
Oh, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. You can go to our website at atheist.radio. Our voicemail number is 844-753-78. I don't know, 844 skeptic. I'm so grossed out. I'm forgetting numbers. Our Twitter is AskAnAtheistWA. Our website is atheist.radio. We're on Facebook. Yeah, this is a big political week, and we really only got through. I didn't even get to talk about the upcoming North Korean summit in Vietnam, of all places, and what that means, and who picked that location.
It's going to go the same way as the first one did.
Oh, it totally is. See you guys next week.